In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about. And some you haven't.
How'd you do that?
Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Discover even more flavors from your local coast with Pelican's new craft sodas. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
Looking forward to those sodas coming out. Daily Ticker presented by our great friends at Pelican Brewing Company. With the turn of the warmer weather, Pelican Brewing brings back its summer seasonal beer, Pelicano, available in clear glass bottles as refreshment you can see. Excited to have our guest on, a friend of the show at this point. When you come on multiple times, you're a friend of the program, Ben Beacon of the Locked On Wolves podcast. Ben, good morning. Thanks for hopping on with us out here in Portland. Gotta say, I know Ann Edwards is a feel-out process guy. He did it in the Warriors in Game 1. Very disappointed. It's one thing to feel out the process. It's another to be passive and not aggressive whatsoever the whole game. What was your read on Ann Edwards as the Wolves lose Game 1?
Yeah, happy to be on. Happy to be with you guys again. It certainly wasn't Ant's best game. I think it was, It wasn't his worst game of the playoffs either. You know, I think there were a couple games mixed in there in the first two series that were similar but less efficient even. I think feeling it out is probably the right way to put it. And certainly when SGA and the Thunder went on their run kind of starting mid third quarter, the Wolves were still up by like four with like 5 minutes left in the third quarter. So that is when it really kind of turned from he's feeling it out, this is fine, like he's kind of biding his time, to wait a minute, now, you know, you can't stop this avalanche that OKC is going on. And that's where it kind of flipped to maybe he was a little passive. And OKC never, I mean, they were aggressive in guarding Ant, but they didn't like fully blitz him as much as some teams have. And, they certainly shaded his defense towards him, as every team does. And OKC's defense is obviously the best in the league by far. So, yeah, I think I would look for him to try and get downhill more tonight in game two. And that's going to be super important to the Wolves offense. He also only had 3 assists, and like he can get away with only shooting 13 times, you know, scoring 18 points if he has 9, 10, 11 assists, but that wasn't the case. He had 3 assists, 4 turnovers. So certainly the aggressiveness will go up from Ant. In fact, he even said post game, he was looking at the stat sheet. He was like, I only shot the ball 13 times. I need to shoot more. And so he knows, and you're right. You can't afford to throw one away, and it is disappointing. But the Wolves have had one of these in every series. The difference is OKC is by far the best opponent they've faced. And so hopefully the Wolves understand, like, hey, we can't afford to have another one of these.
Yeah, it seems like a big game tonight. Do you hate SGA as much as I do?
That's a tough question to answer. I certainly believe he deserves the MVP award. If that doesn't answer your question, but yeah. I certainly believe he deserves the MVP. I certainly also believe, and I said this on Lockdown Wolves, I think every day this week, that he is aesthetically difficult to watch.
Thank you. There you go.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, the foul hunting is a little annoying. He does tend to get a whistle that it seems like not every player gets in the playoffs, especially the way the physicality has been gauged throughout all these series so far. I'm curious, what is the biggest adjustment in your mind, Ben, between what they didn't do well enough in game one or what they need to change and have to change in game two?
Yeah, I mean, I think defensively, I do think they just need to be the first half was actually pretty good. I mean, they held OKC to 44 points in the first half. So, and I know the Thunder were like, we just missed layups and stuff. But, like, the Wolves were making it difficult on them. Like, Rudy was good at the rim. The point of attack defense was good. But then in the second half, it was straight line drive after straight line drive, and the Wolves just couldn't stay in front. And I think the way they played in the first half was fine. Defensively, I don't necessarily think there's much of an adjustment other than play better, like stay in front of guys on the perimeter. What they can do, break glass in case of emergency, is what they did. There was the last regular season matchup between these two teams. The Wolves were down 24 points in the fourth quarter, and Ant tweaked something, and they put him on the bench, and it looked like they were going to mail it in. But then they decided to just be super aggressive with blitzing Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as soon as he crossed the timeline. And they literally played 3-on-4, and forced somebody else to beat them with threes, and they couldn't. And the Wolves came back and won that game in overtime against OKC after being down 24 in the fourth. So that is a fallback, but that's a really, truly a desperation move. So if the Wolves get down, say, double figures in this game, down 1-0 in the series, maybe they do that. On the other side, they just have to make open threes. They had like 12, 13, 14 wide open corner threes. The Thunder will give you corner threes. The Wolves just need to make them. And they shot like 25% or something on threes in this game, or 29%. And they just need to make the open ones. And we're talking about a game that seriously, it will be close and they'll have a chance to win at the end.
Yeah, no doubt about that. What do you make of the Gobert matchup and only playing 21 minutes and how he fits in this series?
Yeah, a little bit of that was foul trouble. He got two fouls in the first minute and a half. And then in the third quarter after Hartenstein and Chet Holmgren both got into some foul trouble, the Wolves countered by matching how small OKC was. I don't know that that was the right call by Chris Finch. And I think if that were to happen again, he may just stay big and be like, hey, look, we're giving up something offensively. I think part of it was the Wolves were struggling to score. And so Finch was like, all right, they're going to be small. Our best offensive lineup is Naz Reid at the five and Julius Randle at the four. So we'll match them. We'll be small and we'll have more offense on the floor. I think ultimately Rudy will be more important in the series than he was in game one, or will play a bigger role because OKC wants to play with Chet and Hartenstein on the floor if they can. So I do think Rudy will play a bigger role. I think that this game one was his impact was mitigated a little bit more than it will be moving forward.
It kind of feels blasphemous, Ben. Ben Beacon of Locked On Wolves is joining us here, our good friend. He's getting ready for game two. It's a big night in Minnesota and Minneapolis as they get ready to see if the Wolves can tie this series at OKC. I'm just curious, Julius Randle, the emergence of Julius Randle has been pretty extraordinary. He's had this playoff reputation, though not like he had a lot of playoff experience, but he had one kind of coming into the playoffs of not a big game performer. He has been stellar. He was their best player in game one. What do you attribute the difference or just the way that he's played so far in these playoffs? What's different, if anything, that has stuck out to you from what it was in the regular season where they struggled so much early to what it is right now?
Yeah, I think he's been appropriately aggressive, if that makes sense, in the sense that he's not forcing things, right? Like in the regular season, it was kind of a little bit of my turn, your turn. Like, hey, I'm a star too. I've been all NBA. I've been an all-star. Like, and I'm not faulting Julius. I'm not calling him selfish or anything like that. I think it was just he was trying to find his spot in the pecking order and wanted to get his possessions. And now I think he's realized and draws so much attention that he's going to be able to attack mismatches. And he did that in the first two rounds against the Lakers and Warriors, where like teams would put two guys on Ant, and then there'd be one guy, sometimes an undersized guy. Sometimes it was just, the defense is in rotation. And so somebody's late sliding over to guard Randall. And Julius realized like, hey, I could just attack these, I could attack. He's starting to shoot threes much better too. So I can attack these closeouts. I can just shoot over these guys if they're going to give me space. I'm not going to see doubles. And so I think he's been picking his spots. And then also when teams would bring late help, or if he had a bigger defender on him, he also has been assisting really well in the playoffs. He's always been a good playmaker, but the decision-making has been really solid. And in the first half, he had 20 points against OKC in game one. And then in the second half, he only had eight and he turned the ball over. I think of his five turnovers, at least three of them were in the second half. And he started to turn his back to the basket and the Thunder started to, swarm as they do. And that's where he saw some trouble, is where they would bring a second guy. And he wasn't, he wasn't aware of that. And he wasn't making that quick decision. So I think as long as he's making the quick decision, oftentimes that's going to be the right decision against the Thunder instead of letting them swarm you. And yeah, he's going to be huge in the series just because of the amount of attention that Ant draws.
Ben, quick prediction. Do you think the Wolves tie it tonight? I think if they lose, I have a lot of respect for Minnesota and Edwards. I think the series is over. I just don't know if they can beat that team 4 out of 5 games. What's your prediction for tonight?
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I agree with you. I think they win tonight, though. I do. I think if the game plays out similarly, I don't know how much adjusting OKC is going to do. They just won by 26. If they play the same way, I think Minnesota makes a few more threes. I think Ant is a little more aggressive, and I think the Wolves will feel the same urgency you just mentioned. They know they've got to win, and then they'll have some momentum going back to Minnesota for games 3 and 4. The Wolves have been a good road team all season. I know OKC's outstanding at home, but the Wolves aren't going to get swept, and they know they need this game. This is a game I think the Wolves can pull out. And so I'm picking Minnesota tonight.
There we go. Great stuff. Ben Beacon, find his great work on YouTube. Find the podcast Locked On Wolves. Does a great job. He's a good friend of the program. Thanks so much for the time this morning, Ben. We always appreciate it. Enjoy tonight's game, too, and hopefully we can catch up with you down the road in this Minnesota series.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys having me.